Let's see, all those that are back here with us this evening, I invite you to be taking your Bibles and turning with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Now we're going to continue our series concerning the fruit of the Spirit. We have discussed thus far in our series, an overall overview of the fruit of the Spirit. We've discussed love, joy, and peace. Tonight we want to discuss the fruit or the part of the fruit of the Spirit concerning long-suffering. Let's read together verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. The word long-suffering comes from the Greek compound word macrothumia. Comes from the words macros, meaning to be large, long, or distant, and the Greek word thumos, meaning wrath. Literally, as we put these words together, it means, long-suffering means to put one's wrath at a distance. We see this word 14 times in the New Testament. 12 times it is translated as it is here as long-suffering. Twice this word is translated as patience. I want us to notice a few passages together before we get into our individual points of this particular lesson. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 16 to begin. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now go to 1 Peter 3 and verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 20. Peter writes, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Friends, when we talk about long-suffering in these particular contexts, what we're talking about is patience. And this one in particular, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, God waited 100 years, 120 years, actually, as here you have Noah building the ark. He allowed him to preach the gospel for that long, and so folks had 120 years to, and the gospel, I mean the good news of God's word in this particular instance. They had 120 years to turn themselves and give themselves back over to God and His demands and His commands, and yet they did not. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verses 10 and 15. 2 Peter 3, 10 and 15. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now verse 15 says, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. We just read where Paul wrote to Timothy concerning the long-suffering of God. We have an opportunity, while we yet draw breath, to obey His gospel. Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. James 5, 10 and 11. James says, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Here we have this word translated as patience. The idea is to endure, to suffer long, to have one's wrath at a distance, or to put one's wrath at a distance. Three things I wanted to discuss tonight concerning long-suffering. Number one, When it comes to long-suffering, friend, let us be long-suffering in our homes. Let us be long-suffering in our homes. Turn with me back to 1 Peter, and let's go to chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's read together verse 7. When we talk about being long-suffering in our homes, husbands, we need to be long-suffering with our wives. We read in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." When Peter says, and as he's talking here, that us husbands are to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. Friend, we are to know our wives. We are to take the time to get to know our wives. Sit down with them from time to time. Get a babysitter. Take them on a date. Spend time with it, just the two of you. You back up to the first 6 verses, and wives, you need to be long-suffering with your husbands. Let's read 1-6. "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be at that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement." We are to be long-suffering in the home. Husbands with their wives, wives with their husbands, and parents with their children. Look at Colossians real quick. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. Colossians 3 and verse 21. "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." But I can't tell you how many times I do remember at times when my father would be frustrated with me. I may not remember a particular occasion or specific example, but I remember seeing the look of frustration on his face, and rather than yelling at me or taking it out on me at that point, he would have to go into another room and think about what he needed to say to his teenage son at that point, to get through that thick facade that I had put up. There are times, friends and fathers, when we may be frustrated with our children that we have to beware of how we conduct ourselves in that moment. We need to be long-suffering with our children. In other words, be patient, not provoking them to wrath. Look at Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And again, it's the same wording that Paul used in Colossians. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." But what are we to do? Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does it mean to nurture someone? Is that something that happens quickly, or is it something that takes time? It takes time, doesn't it? The idea basically is of nursing one, of bringing one along slowly. That's the idea here we find in Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 6. Friends, we are to be long-suffering in our home. Number 2, we are to be long-suffering on the job. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we are to be long-suffering on the job. Let's begin reading in verse 22. "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Now here Paul is talking about slavery, those that are slaves. Okay? But we can take this principle that Paul is using and refer it to the boss and employee or employer and employee relationship. So servants or employees, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Chapter 4 and verse 1, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. In other words, employers, treat your employees fairly. Employees, give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Let us be long-suffering on the job. A perfect example would be the book of Philemon. Onesimus is a runaway slave, and he finds Paul there in Rome. Paul teaches him the gospel. Onesimus obeys. And rather than having Onesimus stay and minister unto him, as Paul says, it would have been beneficial to him to keep Onesimus there with him in Rome, he sends him back to his master, his owner, if you will, Philemon. And notice that Philemon is now treat his servant as a brother. He is to be long-suffering with Onesimus. And Onesimus is not to run away anymore. He is to be treated as equals as far as it is in Christ. Friends, that's the idea here of long-suffering. Being long-suffering on the job. Notice what Paul said there in Colossians chapter 3. He calls upon the employee, the servant, if you will, to follow the commands of his employer as unto the Lord, not as unto man. Friends, in other words, as an employee, do what's right. Because even if the boss is not looking, God is still watching. You be the Christian you ought to be, regardless of whose eyes are upon you. Be long-suffering in the home. Be long-suffering on the job. Finally, friend third point. Let us be long-suffering in the church. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Let us be long-suffering in the church. Hebrews 13 and verse 1. Short verse, but one that carries a lot of meaning to the Christian. The Hebrew writer simply says in Hebrews 13 and verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Friends, we are to love one another with the love of Christ. Christ, as we talked about in our Bible class this morning, Christ told his disciples that the world would know them, would know that they were followers of Christ, would know that they were Christians by the love they had one for another. Friends, do we love one another that way today? As we ought to? When the Hebrews writer says, let brotherly love continue, friends, how do we love? How do we show our love one for another? How do we show our love to our brothers and sisters in Christ? Are we there for them when we need to be? Are we lifting them up, holding their arms up and strengthening them on their journey and looking for strength ourselves, drawing from one another? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's read together verses 1 through 10. Friends, being long-suffering with one another within the Lord's church is a means of showing ourselves as approved ministers of God. Let's begin reading in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain, for He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Friends, as Paul is writing here to the Corinthian brethren, notice a few things that he says. We are workers together with him. Now, specifically, he's talking about the apostles, those that have preached unto them, but they beseech that they receive not the grace of God in vain. They work with one another. And he says that we are to give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Long-suffering is part of that. Bearing one another's burdens in this, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. Notice the next phrase. In much patience. Paul, in another place, talks about running the Christian race, and he says, let us run with patience. Friends, we're going to have to endure in the Christian life. We're going to have to endure as the church. But friends, we're also going to have to be long-suffering with one another. If you will, for a moment, turn back to Romans chapter 9, and let's look at another passage concerning the church and being long-suffering. Romans 9, let's begin reading together in verse 22. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared in the glory? Even us, whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in OC, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not my beloved. And it shall come to pass, that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodoma, or Sodom, and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Friends, quite simply, as Paul is writing here to the Roman brethren, being long-suffering in the church allows the big picture to unfold. What if God had poured out His wrath before the time of Jesus Christ? What would have become of mankind? There'd be no hope. No hope of heaven, no hope of an eternal life. But rather, we would have all been condemned to a devil's hell. The long-suffering, friends, allows us to have the big picture to unfold before us. As God was long-suffering, and His Son came and shed His blood for the remission of our sins. Now, with all that said, when it comes to long-suffering, friends, are we then to tolerate sin and ungodliness? Not at all. Paul addresses that particular thought in Romans chapter 6. Those that are dead to sin, friends, are not to live any longer therein. Paul's very clear on that. So when we talk about long-suffering within the church, we're not talking about overlooking sin. We're not talking about sweeping sin under the rug. We're talking about forbearing one another. We're talking about being patient with one another. We're talking about helping one another along on this Christian race. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit when it comes to long-suffering, friends, let us be long-suffering in the home. Let us be long-suffering on the job, and friends, let us be long-suffering in the Lord's church. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song book, ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friend, it may be that there is one here tonight that needs to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. It may be that you're here this evening having never put Christ on in baptism, having never been immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. We alluded a moment ago, friend, to Romans chapter 6. In that particular chapter, Paul gives us the picture of baptism and what it is and what it means. For as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death. Friend, in order to be in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3 tells us that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Friend, if you would be blessed spiritually, if you would have eternal life, you must obey His gospel. You must put Christ on in baptism. Well, friend, if you're here this evening having never done that, why not tonight become a child of God? Friend, it may be that you're here and you have. You have obeyed the gospel, but you haven't been long-suffering. You haven't suffered with patience and gone through this race. You've gone off course. Would you come home? Would you be His again? Friend, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation, if you just need the prayers of the church, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.